You today about ICANN Learn, which is the online learning platform for ICANN. Some of you might have seen a little bit of it in Durban, so I apologize if some of the information here is familiar. What is ICANN Learn? About a year ago, we recognized that there is a very big gap in knowledge. In the broader ICANN community, some people had access to information more than others. And so we brainstormed on ways to make that information more readily available. And we decided to start building an online platform that would be accessible to everybody everywhere. And so the principle on which we worked was that we would build the platform for the community, as long as the community is ready to populate the platform with information. So all we do is really structure the information, make sure it's available in many languages, and the community basically decides on what goes into the platform. The long-term goal is really to build a large base of very knowledgeable, engaged ICANN stakeholders. Whether they choose to stay with ICANN or not, we would at least like to provide a base of knowledge for them. We also would like to use the platform as a way to test different ways of promoting public interest and building capacity within the ICANN community. And ultimately, it is to attract more people that we haven't previously been able to reach. So what is so special about this ICANN Learn? Well, first of all, it's free. So as long as you can log in and have a username and password, you will have access to everything that's on it. It's open to everybody. It's very simple to use. It supports the 6 UN languages. In fact, it supports more. We choose to only cover the 6 UN languages because that's our language policy in ICANN. We have launched the pilot, so it's a live platform right now with a few courses to test it out. You can access the information on the platform from your phone, from your mobile devices, and you can request courses. So requesting the courses is also a very important feature, because beyond what we put on the platform as the basic modules, we will look to the community for identifying what it's interested in or where it feels there are gaps of knowledge. So this slide will show you an example of what's available right now. And the first thing I thought would be useful was to show the user how to build a course on ICANN Learn. Now, from our end, from the ICANN end, we're working with my colleague, Jeff Dunn, who's a very capable curator for the information, who has actually been very critical for building this platform. Another module we thought would be interesting is how to keep up with ICANN News, ICANN 101, so it has the basics, and ICANN in Latin America and the Caribbean, just because we were coming to Buenos Aires. All of these modules are available in several languages. Some languages were a little bit more challenging than others because it was the first time we, for example, upload Arabic on the platform. So it took longer than other languages. But now it's all up and running. ICANN 101 is highly recommended as a start. It's a very structured way to familiarize yourself with ICANN. I personally have been sending it to people who didn't know much about ICANN before or who are intrigued in what ICANN does. We update this course very regularly. We also look to you to update it. So if there's more information from your experience that you think would be useful and can be part of ICANN 101, we encourage you to send those suggestions to us. We've also looked at these modules from a knowledge base point of view. So we introduce everything in three levels of knowledge. Tier one is usually for beginners, tier two for a little bit more knowledgeable people, and tier three is for people who have been around ICANN for longer. Just by talking to the community, we also identified that one of the things people need to learn about is to how to navigate an ICANN meeting. And I know that the first time I came to an ICANN meeting, it was very difficult for me to figure out how to go about things. So this course was really developed to help everyone get more familiar with the meetings and to answer common questions that help newcomers mostly get themselves up to speed. Again, all these courses are updated, they're live. We want to make sure that the information on the platform is always up to date, and we look to you for your input on that. Now, I'm going into the details of the platform a little bit just so that you're familiar with it. Once you create your profile, it's really very easy to identify what you need and what you don't need. So this is just to give you an example of how you can configure your own page so that the next time you log in, it makes things easier for you. This is the course request. If you log into the OLP right now, the course requests are available. I'm sure many of you have ideas of courses that you'd like to see on the platform. I'm sure many of you actually have a lot of content that would be useful to your community that you can share with us. We're happy to curate it for you and upload it. We're also happy to give you the opportunity to teach it. So in a nutshell, this is a very flexible platform that will allow us to reach students in many different ways, and it will also enable the community to reach whoever it needs to in various ways. We've also covered frequently asked questions on the platform, and if there's any questions that you feel haven't been touched on, please let me know. But you can, for example, find information about how you can create an account, how you can enroll, and how you can request to become an instructor. So the reason why I asked to have this session, actually, is to give you an overview of where we are with this pilot, which is up and running right now. But it's really a call for you to start participating in creating content for the platform, because ultimately the platform can stay the way it is if you don't utilize it. Internally for ICANN, we're using it for some of our HR training. Some of the groups within the ICANN ecosystem have requested some courses. Some of them request for their courses to be locked so that it's only for specific groups, and some of them like to share the information with others. So it's really up to you now to start building the platform. As I said in the beginning, it's for the community and by the community. And I am actually here to hear your feedback and listen to your questions if you have anything.
We have a comment from the Adobe room, so just a second. Zone 2 is saying, comment, what I have raised and will say again here is that ICANN should move to central authentication. ICANN platforms are increasing and one could lose track on user details.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Martin, and I would like to know, how do you handle the copyright material and intellectual property problems that can happen when people upload material and documents that may be protected? Thank you.
Thank you. We're actually looking a lot into that. Thus far, we haven't had an issue because it's always been content that's created internally by ICANN or ICANN users who have provided us with it. But we are working with our legal team also to make sure that we're covered in that respect.
Jacek Gajewski, Internet Society. You mentioned the instructors. Is this supposed that these courses are mentored by tutors and you need the instructors, or you train instructors via these courses?
Thank you. This is a very good question. Actually, it's both. So the platform allows you to hold a course where you are the instructor and you can... Think of the platform as real estate, and you can reserve part of it where you are the instructor, and you give your students certain courses that they need to follow, and you oversee that. But as an individual who wants to learn how to teach a course, you can also request a course that will teach you that. So it gives you the flexibility for both. It also gives you the option, for example, to test your students, to see where they're at, to see if they're actually improving. It lets you know if people have completed the module before they move to the more complex module. So it can be really as virtual of a classroom as you want it to be, or just somewhere where you go for information to develop a skill.
Good afternoon. My name is Marilyn Cade. I have three questions, but maybe I may only be able to remember two of them at the rate I'm going. First, you know, I just want to say how much I appreciate the progress that we're trying to make at ICANN in an online learning platform. For some of the people in the room or in the community, they know that I've been a very, very strong advocate about the importance of an online platform for a number of reasons, but there's a huge problem with scalability of face-to-face training in the initial introduction to the information about ICANN. So this gives us an opportunity to really very broadly make information available, and I'm very excited about that. But I do have a question that might be a little... we have a brand at ICANN. That brand needs to be protected and respected. And so on the one hand, making a platform available for the... trying to think of the right word, non-peer-reviewed submission of content may be a very flexible thing to do, but it might also introduce some less than factual or fully fact-checked information into the system. So I did want to kind of talk a little bit about what the difference is in terms of the kinds of information that is identified with ICANN's brand versus the kind of information that might be identified with a different brand. And my specific example is, I'm one of the officers of the business constituency. We might decide to have an online course about how businesses can get engaged in ICANN that's based on our users' experience. And I would say what I'm responsible for in the business constituency is providing the information about how we view ICANN. But it's our brand and it's our responsibility. While if I'm posting or doing training about ICANN, then I got a little bit of a problem here about whether it's my perspective and my experience or it's kind of a peer-reviewed, authenticated, validated document or training.
Thank you. You raise very, very important points. When people submit material for the online learning platform, we go through a process of checking the information, making sure it's up to date, making sure it's accurate. So we pretty much clean it up and curate it. The other thing is we're looking at different ways to make sure this information is organized on the platform in a way that doesn't confuse people. So that me, as a user, if I'm looking for certain information, I'll know where to go if I'm ICANN staff as opposed to just a community member, as opposed to a business community member. So we're very mindful of these two things. And we're also keeping track of all the comments that are added to the modules. And so if somebody submits inaccurate information or something that others don't agree with, there's always room for people to comment and for us to change it. So there's a little bit of control in the beginning on the quality of the information. There's always a way to correct it if there's enough input that the information needs that kind of correction.
Hi there, Chris Chaplow. Thanks very much. It looks very interesting. I apologize if this question is, because I haven't actually signed up yet, so I'm actually doing it as I stand in the queue. But anyway, where I come from, online courses, they all seem to state the number of hours in the course as though it's some sort of badge of honor or marathon that you've got to get through. But I suppose it does give some sort of idea of how long it's going to be. Have you got that information, or is that something you get when you go in a bit deeper?
It's definitely something that we can add if people feel it's useful. So if I get this correctly, it's you want some information about how long it would take to continue a specific course?
Yes, in some, you know, sometimes it's this course is 5 hours long, this course is 10 hours, this is 100, this is 200, and you see them.
Yeah, it's certainly something that we can add.
Yeah, I presume it means, I mean, I'm not in the industry, but it's sort of average person at average time and this sort of thing. But it is some sort of guide to let you know what you might be letting yourself in for.
Thank you.
We have another question from the Adobe chat. So Seun is asking again, is this platform in any way supposed to generate funds for ICANN or for the instructors? Will there be a time after the pilot when participants will start paying for courses? And also, can an instructor request a course and make it a paid version?
This platform is free for everyone. As I said before, there will be groups that decide they want to create a course and they want to close it off to the rest of the community. So there would be a key that the creator would distribute to their users. We are looking at possibilities of collaborating with other institutions. And this is where we would look into granting access to these spaces to certain users that have completed X amount of modules. So these are things we're looking at from our end. For the user, it will always be a free of charge experience.
My name is Yusuf from Invest of Ghana. I would like to know who qualifies to create a course and for what category of audience. The courses are going to be open or closed to a particular audience. Secondly, how many users can participate in one course at a time? Is there going to be a live support as the facilitator will be online for a certain time to respond to certain questions from the users? Then finally, do you have a backup for the database that you are going to create for the users? Thank you.
Thank you, Yusuf. What qualifies to create a course is anything that you identify as a community that where there is a need. So if, for example, you as a user decide that you need support on an ICANN-related issue, or even how to build a presentation for an ICANN meeting, then you put in a request. So it's really defined by you. Now, okay, this might be interpreted by people as it could be anything, and there will be. It has to be something that relates to the ICANN world, loosely. There is a mechanism we follow up on all the comments that are added on the platform, and we answer them in a timely manner. There will be courses that are offered where the instructor will be available, and the students know exactly when he will be available online to answer questions. Whether the courses are open or closed, that's totally up to the person who creates the course. So you may choose to close your course because it's for a specific, for example, constituency. And you may open it to everyone because you think that the information you're offering your members is useful to everybody else. And how many people can access the course? I think it can take as many as possible, but frankly, I don't have a number in mind. I mean, don't forget that these are courses that are always there and different people access them at different times, unless they're organized courses by instructors. I hope that answers all your questions.
Hello, Nora. My name is Sandra Hoferichter. I'm the chair of the ICANN Academy Working Group. And first of all, I want to thank you and your team that it was possible to test the online learning platform before it is officially launched for the leadership training program, which took place before the recent ICANN meeting. We set up a survey for the entire leadership training program, which also included the online learning platform, and I will be happy to forward you the results. We set up 5 questions regarding the online learning platform. And the good news at the beginning is that on the question, do you think this tool will provide an added value for online learning and will be visited by the community, more than 90% of the participants said, yes, this will be the case. So I think this is generally seen as a very useful tool, but there is space for improvement. At the moment, documents, at least for our course, but I realize, or what I heard from participants, they also visited some other courses which were accessible, materials which are there out of date. Sometimes these are presentations from Dakar, and for a participant who is going to attend a meeting in Buenos Aires, this might be, well, a little bit confusing, seeing, okay, we are meeting now in Dakar, and this is the agenda, or this is what we do. At the moment, it comes along like, okay, here you have a bunch of documents, just go through it. The guideline, the roadmap, what online learning should be, that you really take a course, this is not in place at the moment, but this should be improved. There will be a next opportunity, at least for the at-large community, rather soon, because as some of you may know, we are preparing the Atlas II summit, which will take place in London. And we are going to prepare our community, which is coming into that Atlas II summit, to go through this online learning platform in order to be prepared to participate in an ICANN meeting meaningful. So I think this will be a next opportunity to test it on a bigger scale, on a broader community. There might be others before, but I'm not aware of them. I'm just speaking for the at-large community. And I think a lot of work has to be done until then, and we had a good collaboration with the ICANN Academy Working Group in the past, and I think this should succeed the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll take this opportunity to thank the at-large group for willing to be the guinea pigs for our platform. I just want to remind everyone that we're still in a pilot phase. And so the things we were paying a lot of attention to at this point were the fact that the platform works, that it doesn't break when a lot of users log in, that it displays properly in all the different languages. And I can tell you that every step of the way we had hiccups and problems. And so in this pilot phase, we just want to show what the platform can do and that it's actually doing it properly. In the next phase, we start fine-tuning. We start cleaning up. We start going into our old content, even on the ICANN website, and bringing it more up to date and publishing it. And what I'm noticing really is that all the new content that people are requesting is the, I don't want to say the better content, but the more up-to-date content. So again, I urge the community to request, to submit, even if you don't have a full, let's say you don't have a full presentation on a specific topic, but you have some things that you can help us with, we would build a course for you. So that's all I wanted to say.
Hello, my name is Marília Maciel. I'm a researcher and coordinator of the Center for Technology and Society of Getúlio Vargas Foundation in Brazil. Well, the first thing is just, I've just signed in the platform, and I was taking a look at Icon 101. And one point that I wanted to make is that it seems to me like Icon 101, I understand it's a pilot phase, and you are more concerned with the working of the platform. But Icon 101 seems to be a collection of documents that already existed and were scattered in many parts of Icon website. So I just wanted to make the point that when people go to the website now and they see the material there, they might get this idea that actually a course would be putting the documents together. And in my perspective, the course should be more than there. It should be something developed specifically as a course that has a narrative, a beginning and an end. It's not documents that are very interesting and important, but that do not necessarily talk to each other as a course. And maybe one of the problems that I particularly find in ICANN website is that there's too much redundancy. The documents are available in different parts, and not to make sure that it's not one more space where the documents are available again that may confuse people. Another point that I'd like to make is to come back to what Marilyn has said, that I think it's a very important point. When we talk about academic courses and courses for students, it's very independent, very important to guarantee that we have space for independent thinking and discussions. So just go back to the point that it's important that people that are going to propose courses have the freedom and the independency to propose courses that will sometimes agree with the policies that are being developed, sometimes will present another view that does not necessarily agree with the views of the organization, but nevertheless are important for the community to develop independent understanding and thinking about what is going on inside ICANN. So I think it's very important to guarantee that there is not a space for ICANN to talk about what it's doing in a sense that it's not a promotional website, but it's a teaching platform that people are free to criticize and to learn together. And speaking about learning together, one thing that we have learned in the fellowship program is the importance of having contact with each other and helping each other in the process of learning. And I was browsing through the website and I didn't see a space for forum interaction or exchange of opinions. So I'd like to comment, maybe you comment on if you're planning to create something like that for exchanges between students that are taking the courses. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, all very interesting. The platform does allow us to develop a space for people to have conversations. So there are chat rooms that we're going to be adding and other spaces where people can have an exchange of ideas and conversations that relate to a certain course or a certain comment. We're looking also at various ways a user can put their own comments and come back to them later. So, you know, some platforms, for example, offer the ability to highlight something and add your comments, and it's saved on your whenever you log in. So this is a possibility. We're looking at various ways of doing it, and hopefully in phase two this will be more easier for you to find. The other point I want to make is that this is a platform for ICANN employees, ICANN the ICANN community, I mean, but it's also a platform for others. So we are looking at other organizations that have done a lot of work in the educational field that are willing to, you know, put their courses on our platform. We're also looking at collaborating with academic institutions to develop certain content. So it's not purely for ICANNers. It's also for others that feel their content is relevant to us and to our users.
We have another question from the remote participation. It's again from Sean, which I was pronouncing the name wrong. Considering that this is Moodle, which I'm quite familiar with, what happens when the duration of the course ends for the first set of participants? Will they be retired, or will they be achieved, refreshed, and used by another instructor for another for other participants?
I think it depends on the course. It will really depend on the content. Some content will be reviewed, updated, and made available again to others, and other content will be just for a specific period of time and for a specific target group of users. So it depends.
Thank you. My name is Tijani Benjamin. I am from ALAC. First of all, I'd like to thank you very much for this platform that is now available. In so little time, you managed to put something which is available, which is usable, and this is a performance. So thank you, Nora, and your team, and thank you, Chris, too. I went through the ICANN 101 from the beginning till the end. And I can tell you that the content, the information inside are very useful. And there is perhaps a problem. It is more or less material on the shelf. That's all. It is not a learning tool. It is only you put material at the disposition of people. That's all. And this is good as a beginning, as a starting point. We, as Sandra told you, we will have a summit in London, a not large summit, and we committed to make a capacity building program for our ALSs before they come to London. I would like to know if it is possible that I work with you, with your team, to try to, let's say, customize what is already available to our needs. And perhaps also change more or less the presentation, make it more a friendly user, etc. So if it is possible, I would like to begin to work with you as soon as possible, because there is a lot of things to do, and it will be very helpful if we can use this platform for our capacity building. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Phase two is really all about creating content for real usage. And so we're ready to start working with you on the content for your upcoming summit. We can use existing material. You can propose new ones. You can ask for us to start creating more material through our ICANN network and so on and so forth. So that's definitely a possibility. I'm also looking at ways of linking the ICANN Learn to other departments' work. So let's say we have a new ICANN employee. They've come from a different sector. They don't know anything about ICANN or its ecosystem. It would be required for them to do X, Y, and Z on the platform. Same thing to do maybe with the newcomers or some of the constituencies. I mean, anything we can do to link people to this platform would be great, because we have to market it and we have to make sure that people are using it. Otherwise, there was no point in developing in the first place. But as soon as I'm back in California, we'll start working on your content for the summit.
We have a follow-up on the previous question from the remote participation. I don't see any video conferencing feature on it. And also, what is the permission permitted by a typical instructor in relation to his or her course? Is the instructor role equivalent to the default Moodle teacher or manager role?
To be quite honest, I'm not going to answer either of those, because I'm not sure I have the accurate answer. But we will follow up with you and provide these answers. So thank you.
Hi there, Chris Chaplow. Yes, like many of us, I'm somebody who doesn't like reinventing the wheel, and I always remember the Start podcast that Scott Pinzon did. I don't know if you're aware of those, but there was a lot of some audio podcasts, 5-10 minutes long, 15 minutes, explaining RAA and different aspects And they were always very good, and you might be able to think about including those in the course. I used to load them onto my phone and listen to them on the way to ICANN meetings when I was too tired to actually read anything, and they were always very good, so if you look those up.
Yeah, you raise a very important point. When we started researching how much content we had, we found a lot of very good content that we had to do very little to actually update it. So we're very mindful of the presence of that. The other thing is, just because we're mindful of the fact that there are people in Africa or the Middle East or Latin America who will be using this platform, we're providing a lot of the content in various forms. So let's say there are modules that are video, but we will provide the audio as well, and we will provide transcripts in case that person's connection doesn't allow them to watch the whole video. So that's related to your point.
Yes, thank you. As a follow-up on, the mobile is very important at the Durban meeting, can't remember which event, but many of the local, very young local people, what they were doing on their mobile phones with spreadsheets, and they were reminding us of this. It's quite incredible what they were doing, better than we do on laptops even. Yeah.
Jacek Gajewski, Isaac again. So if I understand well, at this moment you have a working platform. It is a kind of a rollout of the platform and testing the platform itself. Do you, as your department, have your own plans to develop your own, let's say, content? So you have plans to develop a course on X or Y or Z, and which will come, or you see yourself rather as a service department who will, let's say, help others to develop their own content? So that is one question. And the other question is, if this other department wants to develop its content, do you have a kind of a support of educationalists, of let's say, educational technologists who can convert a simple document into something which is a kind of a curriculum? It has to have a methodology of teaching, examining, taking tests, and all that stuff. Yeah, so this is my two questions.
Thank you. At this point, we view the platform as a service. So we are not in the business of identifying what you need. I think we're going to look to the community to identify what they see as topics that require courses. We also internally within ICANN look at other departments to tell us where there are gaps and where we can provide them. Then we can either find somebody to help us create, or look to the community to help us create, or we can curate existing materials that would fit under one category or the other. I'm sorry, I can't remember your second point. If you can remind me.
In your team, do you have methodologist, experts on e-learning?
Yes.
Let's say psychology, methodology, writing curriculum.
Yes.
All this pedagogical aspect of the course.
So on my team currently is myself, and I have an academic background, and Jeff Dunn, who is responsible really for the creation and the curation of the content. And he has done this previously for several universities, including Harvard and other institutions. And so our small team right now is quite equipped. However, we are trying to develop a set of rules that will help us when we grow. And, of course, will help us when we decide to pass this on to a different department or different people. And we're looking for community members who would volunteer to be on a sort of a committee that will advise us to just define the parameters and the rules that will govern this platform.
Hello, I am Natalia Enciso, a LAC member. We are doing a capacity building within LACRALO for Latin American and Caribbean region. And we invite one member from the community to give us a, to talk about something of their expertise. And we put the information, the audio and the transcript on our wiki. I was wondering if in the future, can we move that information to the platform and continue the program from there?
Definitely, and if there's enough information in it to create a course, we can do that. And if we feel like there are gaps, then we would reach out to you to fill those gaps. But we've tried several things. We took a website, for example. You've all seen the Whois website, and we've turned it into a course. We also encountered a few problems as we were building the platform, and as we were learning how to solve these problems, we created a course that helps others who may encounter that same problem. So we're finding that really, as long as there's demand and there's a little bit of that, you can provide us at least with guidelines on the content, we can create the course for you.
Another question from Sean again. If the lifespan of the course depends on the course strength, then it will mean that if my course was deleted, for instance, then it will mean that participants of that course will not be able to refer to the course again on an historical basis.
I don't know why there's an assumption that if a course isn't used enough times, then we would delete it. I hope I didn't mislead you. But there's no intention to delete any courses once they go on the platform, unless there's enough comments from the public, for example, that they want that particular course to be deleted for one reason or another. So we are not planning to delete anything even after people use it.
Hello, my name is Marisa Huero. I'm from Peru. My question is, are you planning to have advanced training courses, and are you planning to give any kind of certification? Thank you.
Thank you. So I think you saw from my presentation and from our dialogue here that we're trying to phase out this initiative. And so phase one was really to get it up and running, make sure it's not breaking, and so on and so forth. Phase two will really concentrate on creating a lot of the content. And so we will be very busy collaborating with the community, with other academic institutions, and populating the platform as much as possible. Phase three is where we will look into the possibility of certification. And to be quite honest, ICANN is not in the business of certifying academic content. And so I'm looking at various ways of collaboration with academic institutions that, let's say we agree that if a student completes a number of courses, then they would get a certification that has the name of that third party on it. But I don't think we will have an ICANN certification, because it's really not our area of expertise. Again, all we're doing is providing a platform that was requested, and it's for the service of the community. Any more questions? So I think we can wrap up. I think the next phase depends more on the community than on us. We're looking to you for providing us with guidance on what you hope to see on the platform, on giving us your content, on giving us your suggestions. There's many ways, once you log in to the platform, to ask and to comment. So I look forward to hearing from all of you about suggestions for courses, for you to follow the courses. And also, we're very open to criticism. If you feel from your user experience that certain things are not working for you, please do let us know. Thank you.